Yes, it's true. It's true. It's me. I know it's been a while. And I always say that, right? I'm always like, it's been a while. It's been a while. It's been a while. But this will be the last time that I say it's been a while because, bitch, I am back for good. Welcome to the Bitch PD with Jonathan Chandler. I am your host, of course, Jonathan Chandler. And yes, I'm here, bitch. I'm actually here to make a fucking episode. Listen, a lot has happened. I could just do a boohoo story and like tell you everything that's going on. But you know what? I'm just going to leave that to my Patreon and whatnot because I know some of you guys just come here for just good old Housewives reviews and whatnot and talking about pop culture. So if you're interested, which I highly doubt it, but if you are, you can go to my Patreon, Patreon.com/TheBitchipedia. It's also in the link for this episode as well, wherever you're listening to it. That Patreon is something I'm going to be using a lot. I'm thinking about doing more Housewives reviews on there for like old seasons and whatnot, recapping episodes, also just talking about whatever I want to talk about because it's literally my Patreon. So go subscribe to that if you would like. But yes, I am back. Let's just get right into it, right? There's been so much that's happened since the last time I've made an episode. And I'm like, oh my God, like, what exactly have I been doing? Why haven't I updated you guys? Why haven't I been making episodes? There's so much. Okay, let's talk Beverly Hills. Isn't Beverly Hills good this season, you guys? Don't you feel like it's like in its prime? I feel like it's reaching a point where like every episode I'm like anticipating what this person is going to say and how that person is going to react. And let's just dive into it. I'm going to go through each and every single person on the show, give my thoughts. We're going to talk about the past episodes, and then we're going to talk about SLC and a little bit about Potomac. Okay, let's start with Kyle. Kyle is the producer of this season. I don't give a fuck what anyone says. She knows what the hell she's doing, okay? She is not slick whatsoever. That woman is a producer. I mean, she produced American Woman. And yes, it only lasts the first season. But hell, that's one more season than a lot of us have on television. So I'll give her that. But when I tell you that girl is playing both sides, and it's so crazy because Erica doesn't even realize it. Erica, if anything, if we're just talking about how they're filming the show, like without seeing confessionals, obviously, and they just, you know, hear what each other is telling one another, Erica thinks in her head, oh, Kyle is my girl. Retta is the girl that I can trust, but Kyle's the girl that's going to have my back, at least in front of this group. And that is not what has been happening. Kyle has made it very, very clear that there's been inconsistencies in Erica's story and that she feels like Erica isn't telling her the full truth and that she is owed the full truth. Now, where I get a little confused is like, girl, why can't you just tell her this? Sutton told Kyle in the last episode, I say more than you guys because you guys are afraid of her. And Kyle's like, I have nothing to be afraid of. Girl, are you sure? Are you sure, Miss Richards Umansky? Are you sure? Because you do seem scared of her. You do seem like you don't know what exactly to do when you're confronted by her. And I don't get it because Erica is like a girl. Who the fuck is scared of Erica? Seriously, who the hell is scared of Erica? Like, I'm being 100%. Who the fuck is scared of Erica Girardi? Seems like this whole cast is. All right, next, Garcelle. Love Garcelle. Love Garcelle. We already knew my love for Garcelle on this podcast. But I am just loving the fact that she's a lot more vocal this season. And unlike her castmates, I will say, yes, she throws shade in her confessionals, but she never, in my opinion, doesn't say what she says in her confessionals to the ladies' face. Like, they know Garcelle's a little passive. Like, they know that Garcelle is the type of person to make a joke to you, and then, like, 15 minutes later, you realize that was a read and not a joke. Like, you know that Garcelle doesn't like these women like that. They kind of know that. And what I also like is that she says everything to their face. She told Dorit that she talks too fucking much. She told Kyle how she felt about her. Y'all, my throat is dry. Jesus Christ. She's already relayed this. She told Retta to her face how she feels about her. And Retta was still like, girl. Well, she always does this fucking voice anytime she talks about a person of color, which is so weird to me. She's like, girl, bitch, bye. Yes, the house down, boots slay, bitch. Like, that's her whole entire confessional head. It's so fucking annoying. And also, she got that from Erica. When Rena came on the show at first, she was not trying to be, like, everyone's fucking ally of the year. Like, she literally was just some actress. Like, a well-known actress, but some actress. Like, she didn't come on the show. If anything, she wanted to be over-the-top dramatic in, like, a serious way. And now she wants to just be, like, ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. Like, look at me, look at me. Like, it's so fucking annoying. And I guess we're talking about her. I can't stand her, y'all. I don't feel like we need her anymore on the show. How do y'all feel? Do you feel like she's necessary? Because I don't. I don't. I would be lying if I said that I feel like Lisa Rinna is necessary on the show. I don't feel like she gives anything. I don't feel like she is the type of person that at least has redeeming qualities. I don't see a single redeeming quality about her. She actually is the type of individual that I like. You know how there's some people on reality TV, you're like, I would never be friends with them, but I love them on the show. She's the type of person that I don't like regardless. Like, I'm just not a fan. So, yeah, not a fan of Rinna this season. Haven't been a fan of Rinna for a while, but, like, for sure this season. Okay, I'll give her one thing. When she sat at Garcelle's house and she was like, and Garcelle was like, I feel like you don't have my back. And she was like, what? That was low-key funny to me because obviously she was, like, trying to say, girl, yeah, I don't have your back. I don't like you. But again, this is where the women fuck up. Yes, Garcelle should know that these women do not like her, they're not going to have her back. But they go about their issues with her in such a weird, fucked up way where, like, they get really, really aggressive with her. And then the minute she gives them any little bit of their energy, they start freaking the fuck out. That's the reason why I just can't with them. And that's the reason why Garcelle's the queen. And speaking of people that just go too far, Dorit. I am not a fan of Dorit this season. I literally feel like Dorit is so just like, I'm going to say this and you guys are going to be like, well, does Dorit? But I just don't feel like she's herself on the show at all. Like, there's something off about her this season. I definitely think she was more quiet from the beginning, but I also feel like she just isn't, like, how can you say all this shit about Erica? Like, if I was Erica, and mind you, I'm not even fucking with Erica like that this season, but if I was Erica, y'all, I'm sorry, I would literally be like, girl, why are you saying all this shit with your husband about me on the TV? Like, why am I a topic of y'all's conversation? That's weird as fuck. That's weird as fuck. And then for her to call Garcelle a bully, I wasn't feeling that, because, like, what do you mean she's a bully? What are you trying to get at? See, I don't like when white people call black people bullies. I don't. Because to me, it's like, you're calling me a bully because I'm emoting the same way that you emote. You're calling me a bully because I'm doing the same exact thing that you're doing. Or do you just find me aggressive because I'm black? Because, see, that's what I'm getting from Dorit. And then, it's been such a long time since I talked to y'all, that episode where they were at Kyle's Palm Springs home, which is gorgeous, by the way, and she was like, I teach my kids to love everyone. You know, a lot of our people in our home are people of different races and whatnot. And Garcelle was like, is it just your help? And I wish Dorit would just say that's the reason why she don't fuck with Garcelle. I really wish Dorit would be like, she caught me in a moment in which I sounded a bit ignorant. I don't like that. I feel like she wanted to have a gotcha moment with me. I feel like that would have been way more authentic. Would I have understood her point? Hell no. Because what the fuck? Just apologize and move the fuck on. But instead of just being like, she's poking at me, she's poking at me, she's poking at me. How about the four of you present yourselves as a friend group, and to other people, a friend group that could joke around and be transparent with one another, but you don't like when someone else does it to you? You have said that you talk a lot. There are people in this group that have told you you talk a lot, but the minute Garcelle says it, she's poking at you. How is she poking at you, lady? She's literally just stating a fact. You talk too fucking much. Like, girl, at Garcelle's Haitian dinner when she was talking about PK, what the fuck that got to do with anything? Miss Mamas, I'm not feeling Dereed. I'm not feeling Dereed. But if I had to choose who I want to stay, Dereed or like Rena, definitely Dereed. Definitely Dereed. Because Rena does this shit on social media that's like very, I don't want to call it, like, I know it's a reality television show. I shouldn't be this deep with it. But like, it just comes across very like her spirit ain't right. Like, that bitch will see something on the show that she doesn't like, and she will put the most ominous quote on her fucking Insta story and think she's some type of bad bitch. And it's like, girl, you don't have hands, so let's like calm the fuck down. Number one, you can't beat nobody ass. Stop talking like you can't. Number one. Number two, why are you so fucking like that's the aggressive one. That I would be calling my employer, like, why is she doing these Bible quotes and movies from the 60s quotes and posting videos of white people dancing in the 1940s and subbing me? Like, what the hell that got to do with anything? What that got to do with the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, bitch? So, not a fan at all. Crystal. Okay, let's talk about Crystal, okay? Do I like Crystal? Yes. Do I feel like Crystal's a good fit for the show? Yes. Have I been feeling Crystal these past few episodes? No. Now, I do have to take out the fact that, like, Teddy is technically the one who, you know, kind of introduced her to this group because Teddy was her friend. Before, even though Teddy didn't do it on camera, I'm pretty sure Teddy was the one that kind of like, you know, helped introduce everyone. Okay. So I have to really tell myself, okay, she probably already has allegiance to some of these ladies, whether she knows it or not. It could be a subconscious allegiance because her friend has always spoke highly of them. If my friend has always spoke highly of a friend group, even if other people don't like them, I'm going to be like, okay, well, I trust my friend. It's my friend of 5, 10, 15, 20 years, whatever. I'm going to trust their, you know, her instinct. My issue is, girl, like, the Me Too comment, weird. Saying, like, oh, I don't know who Sutton is. Bitch, let me tell you something. One thing about it, two things for certain. You can say what you want about Sutton. That motherfucker is known, okay? In circles that I'm not privy to, okay? She's on the board of shit that I could barely afford. I can barely afford to say it. I just got charged $1,500 just to say that she's someone that's known. Bitch, she is known. So when she says that, I'm like, I guess here's my thing. I understand that relevance is subjective because I might not know someone who is well known in New York, but people in New York might know them. I might not know someone who is well known abroad, but people abroad might know them. Like, for example, you know, I love my K-pop. When people be trying to tell me, like, oh, no one knows who they are. Like, girl, no, you don't know who they are. I know who they are. So I get it. From both sides, that can be said. Like, maybe Crystal genuinely did not know who she was. So, you know, when Erica was like, we go to the same country club, I've never heard of her. Well, the thing is, Miss Mamas, like, the country club probably has, like, 1,000, 2,000 people to it. Like, you're not going to know everyone. And again, I understand what she's trying to say is she knows the relevant people there. But, like, the people that go out of their way for their names to be known aren't always the most powerful people, even socially. Like, maybe you're just not privy to her, okay? But yeah, I wasn't feeling Crystal trying to defend Erica with that. And then, like, I don't know, but I really do like her outside of that. And I'll tell you why. Crystal, and I mean this with love, Crystal's low-key an asshole, and I live for it. Because some of her qualities, like, I have. Like, I'm the type of person, like, I will laugh in your face. Like, if you say some shit to me that is just so crazy and, like, asinine, off-the-wall shit, I will laugh in your face. And you will get pissed off. And I know that I'm doing it to piss you off. And that's some asshole shit. So I totally resonate with Crystal when it comes to that. I also feel like she's a good fit for this group. And I'm sorry, I've been wanting to see more people of color on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills because as someone that's an LA native, not a Beverly Hills native child, I was about to give up where I was born at, though. Let me not do that. I can say it, Cedars. That's like Beverly Hills-ish. I can tell you for a fact that there are wealthy people of all ethnicities. Like literally, there's freaking wealthy people within every single race group. And like Garcelle said when she was introduced to this group, like in her press statement, because yes, I am a Garcelle stan, like, black people exist in every zip code, Asian people exist in every zip code, You know, Latinx people exist in every zip code. Let's see more of it. So I really, really like the fact that she's bringing in her culture. There were things that I didn't even know about when it came to her culture that, like, I'm being, like, introduced to. And I'm like, that's so fucking cool. Like, I love that she's on the show. So even though I don't like that Me Too comment, which I'm pretty sure she'll explain at the reunion because that was fucking weird. And I also didn't like her comment, like, about, like, I don't know who Sutton is. Like, girl, okay, calm down. That doesn't mean I think she should be off the show. You need that person who is just very, they're so blunt. It teethers on the line of disrespectful. You need that on this show. So the people that are like, she should go. No, I actually think she should stay right where she is. And I could really see her, like, leading some shit. I see, like, a Crystal versus Kyle thing happening. And I hope Crystal doesn't think her allegiance to Teddy means that, and when I say allegiance, I don't mean that Teddy's like calling her like, you need to be nice to Kyle. I mean, like, you know, if your friend introduces you to another friend, you want to be nice to that person. But Teddy ain't on the motherfucking show no more, okay? So I'm gonna need Crystal to really do her shit, because I can tell she gets really annoyed with Kyle sometimes, and I live for that. I really do. Because Garcelle versus Kyle, it was triggering to watch because Kyle was doing a lot of microaggressive stuff, which she has apologized for. I totally understand that, but it was just, wasn't feeling that. But Crystal versus Kyle, as long as Kyle doesn't do that microaggressive bullshit with Crystal, that's going to be a good-ass feud. A good-ass feud. Like, Deree versus Garcelle could be a good-ass feud. But Deree, the bully shit, the fucking, I speak four languages, doesn't make sense in any of them. How long did you rehearse that? How long did you go in the mirror and say, I speak four, let me read it like this. Like, girl, waiting all night to say that. Weird. Okay, let's go on to Sutton. Was I feeling Sutton earlier this season? Hell no. That shit she did in Lake Tahoe was weird as fuck. I'm from LA, so everything, if I say weird, that actually, those are, like, not fighting words. Well, they are, but not in this instance. But, like, someone calling you weird is, like, basically, like, an LA slur. So, like, when I say weird, I genuinely mean it. Like, that was fucking weird. I'm glad Crystal really, like, got her together. I kind of wish Garcelle got her together more when it comes to that, but maybe it happened off camera. I don't know. Yes, I'm giving her more grievance because she's my fave. What are you going to do about it? Anyways, so I like Sutton now, and I will tell you why. Sutton is literally the definition of the individual that the group sees as the villain and the person that the viewers see as the hero. Okay? You kind of have that with, let's think. I was going to use the Orange County example, but I cannot fuck with Orange County, child. I will say at Atlanta, okay? Even though I'm not so much of a Porsche stan no more, I can't stand her, to be honest with you. Atlanta. People really, the viewers like Portia. The group at times really didn't like her, especially like season 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, kind of 11. Like, you know, no, 11 they liked her, but you know, 6 through 10, like, the group wasn't really fucking with her besides Phaedra and Nene. Like, they all thought she was the villain, but other people like her. I don't think Portia was a good analogy because, but do you get what I'm trying to say? What I'm trying to say is, like, Sutton does what she needs to do in order to feel comfortable. And I fuck with that because a lot of people will give up comfort in order to make someone else feel comfortable. Like, girl, you are being sued for a lot of money. Now I'm speaking about Erica. And I also think Sutton just is rich as fuck, and I like to see that. Like, she's so fucking rich. And I like the fact that, like, she's Southern, because, like, her having, like, a Southern perspective is kind of cool on the show. It's kind of cool because, like, something, you know, like, that no nonsense, like, that's fucking weird, you know, but they say it in their own way. I like that. What was I gonna say? I feel like the girls try to make Erica comfortable because they don't want to cross a line with her. And let me say this: if one of my homegirls was in a lawsuit and she was being sued for a lot of fucking money, and it was, like, one of my close homegirls, would I give her a little bit of, I keep saying this, but grievance? in a sense of, like, yes, if the group is saying a lot of shit to her, I will be, like, defending her. That's why I kind of don't care that Ren is not, like, fucking reading her, because I didn't expect her to. Like, if that's your homegirl, that's your homegirl. Now, Ren should expect to be called a hypocrite, and she should not get mad, which she already is. She should not get mad at anyone else telling her, like, you didn't give this to fucking Denise, and Denise didn't do shit in comparison to what Erica's done. So, like, that's where, again, Rena could really be right in some of these situations, but she fucks herself up by, like, playing victim all the goddamn time, that it takes away from her original point. It does, and she's done it so many times. So, to me, yes, I understand why Rena, and I'm only speaking about Rena, would be quiet about it. But the other girlies, I don't understand that. Because if you really look at that group, it's always been Kyle and Teddy, Dorit in the middle, Rena and Erica. Okay? With Dorit kind of leaning more towards Rena and Erica. Now that it's just the four of them, which is what I had really thought would be cool, just kind of see that allegiance break up. Like, if y'all wanted to stay on the show, shit, we already know Beverly Hills got a light script to it. We already know the story producers do what they need to do. Like, break that shit up. Like, do something different. Then I wouldn't mind all four of y'all being on the show. But, like, now that it's done like that, it really kind of is Kyle and Dorit versus Rena and Erica. And Kyle and Dorit need to be more fucking vocal. You don't owe her no loyalty. Y'all really aren't close to her like that. Like if I'm thinking about it, like, real shit, I'm pretty sure, sorry, I have to take a drink of water. I'm pretty sure that it's, like, Kyle, Dorit, Teddy who hangs out. And Rena comes sometimes. And Erica's only there if they film or if they go to dinner to contrive some shit. When I say contrive, I'm just playing. I'm sure they just gossiping about the group. That's what friends do. I'll give them that, okay? But that is what is freaking me the fuck out. Like, you two don't owe her shit. And she needs to realize they don't owe you shit, bitch. How the fuck they gonna owe you something? And you're not even telling the truth about your situation. I bet you Erica sat Rena down and was like, let me tell you something. I'm gonna tell you what I can tell you legally. And I'm gonna tell you as much as you want to hear so that you don't feel like you're guilty about some shit. But X, Y, and Z, 1, 2, and 3. Okay? Like, if she said that, I'm pretty sure they would be okay with it. She decided to take it upon herself to think that every single girl in the group owes her loyalty, and Sutton doesn't play that shit. Sutton's like, I don't owe you shit. I got a lot of money. Listen, don't believe that celebrity net worth bullshit. I can promise you Sutton is probably worth more than every single person in that group, with the exception of Kathy Hilton. To own part of a sports team, which I'm going to assume is the Dodgers, because on her IG story, she's always at Dodger games in, like, the top seats. Bitch, she got money. She's like, I don't want to be implicated in anything. And yes, they could be subpoenaed. Really think about it. Yo homegirl stole money, allegedly. Yo homegirl's husband, allegedly. Even though I'm pretty sure it's been proven by now, but let's just say allegedly, because I can't get sued. I'm going to call a suit, and I'm already broke. I ain't got time for it. Yo homegirl's husband allegedly stole money from orphans and widows and burn victims. And she shows up with Givenchy, Gaultier, Chanel, Balenciaga, all in one outfit, looking crazy, but you like it because it's designer down, bitch. And you hear that money is stolen from people that are, like, victims of horrible things. You don't think the government gonna see that shit and be like, come in and talk, what's going on? I bet you at least one producer is gonna be subpoenaed, and I bet you at least one cast member is gonna be subpoenaed. It might be Rena, so Erica might be lucky, but the shit's going down basement Friday the 13th. Yes, I'm calling Jason. Like, the fuck? It's gonna happen. And lastly, Erica. Erica is giving us a storyline this season, so I'm grateful. I'm not gonna sit here and act like this isn't giving. I'm not gonna sit here and act like when her and Sutton go back and forth, she be clearing Sutton sometimes. She do. You want me to sit here and lie? I'm not gonna sit here and lie. She be clearing her. However, comma, I don't understand why she has so much energy for Garcelle and Sutton, and never, I mean, she did give it to Dorit a little bit at that table, but never for Kyle and Dorit, or just for her fucking situation. Like Garcelle said, I've never seen her be angry. Why aren't you at the table being like, he fucked me over, fuck him? Let me tell you something. I know this doesn't sound right, but this is the type of friend I am, okay? If my homegirl was accused of that shit, But I saw her showing up to dinners mad that her husband put her in that predicament. Oh, I'm writing for her. Even if it's proven that she did some shit, I'm writing for her. Because at least I know, without the information of her, you know, potentially doing something, at least I know, oh shit, like, he fucked her over. But instead, it's almost like, fuck, my life is over. Like, to be silent is to be complicit. Silence is complicity. You might not have known what exactly was going on, but you knew that something was occurring. You knew there was something that was not right, that wasn't all the way together. So let's not act dumb, Ice Princess. You knew what was going on. You signed on some of them papers. So did he forge your signature? And how come all of a sudden he got Alzheimer's? You just dropped him off at the office before he filed for divorce. Ciao. Ghetto. He's giving EDD fraud. Ghetto. Ugh, goodness. Anyways. Ciao. I'm living for Beverly Hills. Oh, Kathy Hilton. She cool. She funny. I just feel like, you know, I live. She's super funny on screen. I live for it. I do think it's a little bit of an image rehab thing, but it's kind of iconic that she's doing that. Also, I have a good feeling at the reunion she's going to bring up the fact that Garcelle brought something up about Paris all those episodes ago. Like, oh, she's always on her phone. Because Kathy did say in an interview, one castmate said something that, like, kind of irritated her a little bit. But let me just tell you this, okay? And it's no shade. Paris has been on the camera saying some really interesting things about black folks. I've seen it myself. I've seen the certain slurs come out of her mouth. She just need to keep it cute. If I were Kathy, I would just keep it the fuck cute. And that's all. And no, that doesn't mean I'm trying to cancel Paris. No, it just means shut the fuck up. Like, calm down. Your daughter has done enough damage. Calm down. Let her live her life. Like, don't try to come for nobody saying that she was rude, because she probably was. She had $1 billion. She was white. She was privileged. I'm pretty sure she walked into a place and thought her shit didn't stink. It was 2004. Motherfuckers got Nokia phones, flipping that shit up and down. I'm pretty sure she didn't give a fuck. Okay? Moving on. Salt Lake City, bitch. That was the best fucking premiere I have seen on Bravo in a while. I lived. Let me tell you something. I'm going to say something very controversial. It's going to piss you off. And I know it is. Because I know y'all. But it must be said. Jen Shah looked the fuck good when she got arrested. Y'all said it. And I know what you're saying. But the braids. Listen. The braids. Should she have done them? Hell no. That is not her hairstyle to be wearing. Okay? Taking black people hairstyles. Black women's hairstyles. Trying to make it your own. Last season, I kind of had a problem with her acting like she was black sometimes. And I know she's around a lot of black people, so she thinks, like, you know, it could rub off on her. But, you know, just rub it off. Don't let it just stay on your... Just rub it off, because that is not your culture. However, comma, if I lied to you and said that I don't want to see that... Like, I want to see the mugshot. I would buy a shirt with the mugshot, because she looked the fuck good. Also, she knew she was getting arrested. She knew. There's no way that you don't know. There's no way that you don't fucking know that you're about to get arrested. And let me tell you why. Not only is it a federal case, okay? But motherfuckers around her that worked for her, allegedly, got arrested. Girl, you knew the block was hot. You knew the block was getting hot. And when she got that call, oh, that shit was so iconic. We're at the beauty lab at, I'm pretty sure when she left, she was told today it's going to happen. I'm pretty sure she was telling her aunt or whoever picked her up, this is where I'm at. You down the street like we planned? Okay, let me get the fuck out of here. Because how you missed the cops? And they had helicopters for her? That is so ghetto, and I live. They had ghetto birds for her? They had ghetto birds for her? That would scare the fuck out of me. That, like, is scary. That's so scary. But it was iconic. And let me tell you what was also iconic about this premiere is that that wasn't even the best part of the premiere, in my opinion. What was so good about the premiere was that every single cast member gave me something. I thought they were so interesting. All seven of them. Beverly Hills can never, because there's some people on that show that are not interesting in solo scenes. Like, even their most least, like, their least interesting storyline might be, like, Whitney's. But Whitney's is kind of, like, funny on, like, the, again, teetering on the line of, like, what's going on here? And I think it's different. And that's what we like about Salt Lake City. They're all different. I think I'm going to do my reviews like this. I'll just go through each and every person or each and every feud. I'm not a good episode recapper. This is just not for me. Like, I can't be like, and in this scene, I can't do it. I wish I could, but I can't. But let's talk about it. First of all, I wasn't living for Meredith last season. I live for Meredith now. And I'm going to tell you why. When she explained why she was upset with Jen, which, to give Jen credit, I do not think that it was bad for her to like a tweet calling him a twink. I also don't think it was bad for her, Jen, to like anything, you know, saying that he's privileged. He is. And I think it was kind of weird that Meredith acted like it was a slur, like acted like twink and privilege were slurs. They're not. But on the flip side of it, when she said, Brooks never discussed his sexuality with me, I said, oh, all bets are off. She should have never gone there. Because to assume someone's sexuality as someone that literally has to deal with that growing up, it is not fun. You have millions of people saying shit about you. It's just not fun. Now, do I think Brooks should have got in women's business? No. But maybe now I understand why he got in women's business. I mean, no, I kind of don't understand, because he should have never said anything about her vagina. Like, that was weird as fuck. But he probably was just like, you said Grindr 10 times and I haven't even came out. Like, I'm just sitting here and now I feel uncomfortable. So I wish it was presented, and I get why it's not, because he's still young. I mean, let me say young, because we the same age. Yeah, still young. And I get, like, not wanting to go on camera and be like, Mom, her discussing my sexuality was really uncomfortable. I don't think he should have been like, her vagina in my face made me uncomfortable. I think he should have just been like, I do not like the fact that she kept saying Grindr, because my sexuality is not something I want to discuss on national television. And she shouldn't have gone there. And I would have totally got that. And I still do. I still feel like he had every single right to feel uncomfortable. And Meredith had every single right to stand up for her baby. And so I live for Meredith. She's engaging this season. And even though I found that line a little tired, I can get with it, because she's engaging. And also, I feel like Meredith is just a cool-ass bitch. Like, I feel like she's the type of person, like, she's just a cool-ass chick. Like, I feel like she's the type of person you would want to just chill out with and watch a movie or, like, gossip with. I feel like she gets good gossip. Speaking of just good talking in general, I love Lisa Barlow. When she's like, I love that. Oh my God, I love that. No, seriously, Jen, I love it. That lady is a fucking icon. There is just something about her that is just so wholesome and very real. I don't think, again, this is what's so good about Salt Lake City. You could tell the people that are putting on for the show, and you could tell the people that just want to put on a good show. Putting on for the show is trying to live a lie. Putting on a good show is just being a little more blunt than you usually would be, being a little more vocal than you usually would be. And you could tell who's who on Salt Lake City, and I like that, because it's a good combination, okay? I live for Lisa. I literally love the fact that she's like, being in the middle is hard. I don't want to be in the middle of you and Jen, or, you know, you and Meredith, whoever she was talking to at the time. Like, I don't want to be in the middle of that. Also, can I say, watching Salt Lake City, beautiful ass city. The aesthetic, it's so aesthetically pleasing to see these women dressed up with just beautiful ass snow. The views, the architecture, it's fucking gorgeous. Fucking gorgeous. Yeah, I love Lisa Barlow. I love what she brings to the show. I think she's super, super awesome. And I don't understand why she's at the end in the intro. But then again, it's hard to set it up, because all of them bring it. Just have them, like, standing in a line. Because I don't like, you know, I know it's old school Housewives and I love that at the same time. But, like, we could change it up. Have them, like, do with Potomac, Atlanta, Beverly Hills. Just have them in one line. Because then being at the end doesn't hurt as much, in my opinion. Okay, Let's get into Jenny. I love Jenny's story. I'm obsessed with Jenny. Everything that Jenny does, like, I'm just obsessed with. Like, she's literally the epitome of just, I don't necessarily feed into, like, the American dream bullshit, but, like, she really is the epitome of that. Like, the fact that she, like, escaped her country and, like, came here and, like, just, she just reminds me of, like, she, well, that would be giving my personal business away, but she just reminds me of, like, the women in my life. I, you know, my, oh goodness, I don't like giving out my personal business. I don't. I have family from, like, Jamaica and stuff like that. My grandfather came from Korea. Like, I know that it's hard to come from a country, to come from your home into a country that you're not used to at all. And I really applaud her for being super transparent with her story and being interesting and being funny. And I just love her. And she's so, like, oh my goodness. And again, yes, this is the first episode. Opinions can change. But, like, I really, really love her presence on the show. And I just love Salt Lake City. They're diverse and it doesn't come off as performative. This is how you do it. Honestly, this is how you cast. If you want to cast people of color, this is how you do it. You don't have to be performative with it and just put one person on the show. You know how diverse Salt Lake City is? Oh my God. Like, I just love it. I really, really do. And where's Elisa Barlow? I love it. I love it. I really, really do. Okay. Who's next? Heather. Heather's funny as fuck to me. Everything that Heather does, I'm, like, really obsessed with. Because Heather's really in her own world. Like, it's just Heather's world. And we're living in it. She really is just in her own world. I love her story about, like, Mormon culture and trying to break out of that. And I also think she is a good glue for the group. And you know what I love? You know what I really love? Usually, they try to push the glue as the center of the show. They do that with Beverly Hills and they do it with Kyle. And I'm sorry, no shade. Kyle is not. Like, there's glue and then there's, like, the face of the show, I should say. Like, in K-pop terms, there's, like, the center and then there's the face of the group. The center should be, like, your glue. The person who kind of holds it all together. No. Yeah, exactly. Holds it all together and whatnot. And then your face of the group is, like, the person that, like, people know, the general public, like, knows and whatnot. So, like, the face of Salt Lake City right now might be, I think, Meredith and Jen. Even though Meredith has, like, a whole bunch more followers and whatnot, people know Salt Lake City now because of the Jen arrest. Like, let's be real. The ratings are up. We've seen it. But people also know Meredith really, really well. But I feel like Heather is the glue for the group. She's the one who keeps the group together. Because if you really think about it, besides Jen, she really is not on anyone's side. Like, she kind of just plays her own game. I fuck with it. I really, really do. Let's talk about this igloo luncheon. Also, let me just say this real quick. Love Mary. Love Mary down. As someone that was raised in a black church, bitch, I understand everything that she's doing. I'm not saying I agree with what she's doing. There's a reason why I say I was raised in a black church. I'm not still an active participant. Just because I don't like a lot of hypocrisy within religion. But we'll get into that another day. Maybe on my Patreon. But I really do. It just reminds me of, like, growing up as a child and seeing your pastor just be all over the place and, like, well, that's just Pastor Mary. That's just how Mary is. And, like, why aren't we giving her the same kooky edit that we give Kathy? I wonder why. Yeah. Anyways, child, let me not even get into that because y'all call Kathy kooky, but Mary's a cult leader. Fucking weird. And it's the fans. I'm not even talking about what's going to happen on this upcoming season. It's the fucking fans that be doing that shit. And she's fucking hilarious. She's really, really funny to me. So they get to this igloo dinner or luncheon and whatnot. I think it's so cool that they're in a fucking igloo. Like, that is so awesome. And I love Mary and Meredith's friendship. It's so genuine to me. It is, y'all. I'm sorry. Like, it just, I feel like Meredith really, like, fucks with Mary. Like, she's like, that's my bitch. And no one's going to come for her for no reason. And I feel like Mary is like, Meredith's my bitch. And no one's going to come for her for no reason. Like, I love that. Isn't someone on this cast a lawyer? Or is that another show? Wasn't Meredith a lawyer? Am I tripping? Someone was a lawyer on this show. I must be tripping. Maybe I'm thinking about, like, every other Housewives franchise. Because, you know, Ebony, Dr. Wendy. Like, you know, there's obviously lawyers. But, like, wasn't Meredith and Jackie, obviously off of Jersey. But I feel like Meredith was practicing law. I could be wrong. She gives me lawyer vibes. She literally gives me lawyer vibes. I live. So they're just talking about, like, the whole entire Jen thing, and, like, I understand Meredith's perspective. I think she explained it very eloquently. I totally understand where she's coming from now when she explained it. And I also, at least Heather was honest, and she was like, listen, she uplifts me, and I fuck with that. And when you're her friend, you feel like the greatest person in the world, and I like feeling like the greatest person in the world. Bitch, I don't blame you. I like feeling like the greatest person in the world, too. Overall, oh, the Lisa and Meredith thing. Okay. I see both sides. I see where Lisa's coming from, where she's like, I don't want to be in the middle. But I also get where Meredith's coming from. I'm not going to lie to you. If I was in this situation, it's like, it's so 50-50, because if you're friends with someone that talked about my kid, oh, I cannot fuck with you. But if y'all were already arguing and shit happened and we were all three friends before that, it's going to be hard for me. And I don't want to be in that position. Now, if Jen doesn't offer her a proper apology, then Lisa's wrong, because you've seen her talk about my kids, and then you just shut the fuck up, and you don't think that it's wrong for her not to offer an apology. Then I can understand where Meredith is coming from 100%. Let me drink some water. However, I see both points. Good ass premiere. Awesome premiere. Awesome ladies, I loved it. Now let's talk about Potomac, and we're going to do it quick, because I don't want to get into this conversation too much, child, because last time I talked about the colorism on Potomac, I got attacked for my appearance, and I don't have time for that shit again. I cannot go private again. I mean, I will if need to be, but that's just so annoying, because then you lose all your insights and stuff like that, and I'm a small account. Sometimes, like, if you work with other people, they're going to want to see, like, your insights. I mean, they can see it themselves. I don't buy no followers. I am not somebody that's buying no followers, child. I'm a small account. You can check my comments. You can check the likes on the comments. I could pull shit up. Okay? Anyways, Potomac is getting stale. I said it. It needs to be said. Potomac is getting stale. And the reason why Potomac is getting stale to me is because we've seen the same dynamic. Switch it the fuck up. Can someone switch it the fuck up? I don't need to see Karen and Giselle go back and forth again. We've seen it. It's been done. You could be frenemies, but total enemies? What the fuck? And, like, why is Karen bringing shit up from, like, 4 seasons ago? Like, it's so weird. They need to, like, just be on some, like, Candy Nene shit. We see each other. I know what you are. You know what I am. I know what you're about. You know what I'm about. Do I fuck with you? No. But when these cameras are up, and if we gotta discuss some shit about this show, because Karen and Giselle really are the centers, the faces, they are the show. Okay, then we discuss it. Okay, and then you could tell their friends. When Karen did Bravo Chat Room, they were totally like acting like siblings. Like, they literally love each other. They live for each other. Like, it's so annoying to be acting like they don't. But then Karen does weird shit on social media, and then Giselle do be talking about people's husbands a little too much for someone that, like, is going through shit. That's annoying. I understand why Karen be getting irritated, why the other girls be getting irritated. But then again, you've known this girl for years. You know she messy. Most of the time, I'm going to be real true. I feel like she's unintentionally messy. I actually think it's either she's trying to just do some shit for the show, which is understandable. It's her show. Her and Karen's show. Or that's just how she is. So, like, you know what she is. You know what she's about. But at the same time, it's annoying because she be going through shit. And you're like, girl, you're going through shit. Like, are you sure this is something you want to talk about? Are you sure this is the road you want to go down? Oh, my goodness. We've seen Candace and Ashley go back and forth. Robin taking fucking Giselle's side. Annoying. Switch it up. I get that Giselle was trying to be a good friend in her eyes, but, like, goddamn, if you tell me that I need, if you just going ham at me, telling me I need to get my lazy ass up and all this other bullshit, girl, don't do that shit on the camera, because I do not be talking about your marriage like that. But that's their friendship. That's their fucking business. But if Robin wants to keep at that, low-key, someone needs to take your flute, because you need to switch it up. We need you to switch it the fuck up. And I live for Robin. She's been my fave for a long time, but this season I ain't feeling her. And I know what you're going to say. This season out of all seasons, yes. Now, her story about going through, like, pandemic depression, I fuck with that. That's, like, one of the realest storylines we've seen on Housewives ever, because we all know what that's about, right? Let me sip my water. We know what that's about. So we know that, you know, that's something very, very real. And I also think Juan is a fuck. Oh, girl, I cannot be cussing like this. He's just an asshole for no reason. I said this on the Hot Off the Mess podcast with Samantha Bush. Go listen to it if you haven't already. You wearing tracksuits all day and you bald? Willfully, willingly bald? With a beard? Are you trying to tell me that I look a mess? You trying to tell me I'm lazy, but my satin hats are the reason why the lights are on? And these cameras filming me sleeping are the reason why the lights are on? Fuck, nigga, get the fuck out of here. It just needs to be said. I love the friends of the show. I love the new housewife. It's Escal, right? I don't want to mispronounce it. Because I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't been really, really watching like that. I just watch, you know, and I might skip over. It's either Escale or Escal. Escala. I don't want to mispronounce it. So I'm actually going to do my research and then correct myself. But I like her. I really, really do. I love that she's just herself. And I also love that she didn't come onto the show with no blind allegiance to Robin. So you know what? Let's give her a flute next season. Okay? Dr. Wendy. Okay, listen. I love Dr. Wendy. I love her Dr. Wendy. We get it. The rumors were said. I don't think Giselle was trying to, like... If Giselle wants to be super, super messy, she will be super messy and bring it up in front of every single fucking body in the world. Calm down. Calm down. Calm down. And when I say calm down, the reason why I'm saying that is because at first I thought she had every single right to cuss Giselle out. But then I was like, girl, like, that was a lot. A little unnecessary. And now I feel like, and I said it off on the Hot Off the Mess podcast with Samantha Bush. Go check it out. I feel like she's not trying to prove a point to the women about her marriage. She's trying to prove a point to America that her marriage is good. You could tell. It's not necessarily the outfits. It's just her whole demeanor. You know? It's a little off. It's a little off. However, comma. What I'm not here for is people calling her aggressive and shit because she cuts Giselle out. She needs to calm down and chill when it comes to bringing it up every other episode. And the read was a little too lethal, but it was good in the moment. But don't be calling her that because y'all don't be giving Ashley that. Y'all don't be giving Ashley that. And I'm not going to do no review on Ashley because I'm not a fan. It's no shade. Her husband is a predator, allegedly, because I don't want to get sued because I'm a broke college student. Anyways. Mia... I don't like when a new housewife... See, I said this before, and I'll say it again. Do not try to come onto a show being super, super transparent to the point where you feel like you're so transparent that you're untouchable because you've been so transparent with shit, and there's shit still about you that people don't understand. You didn't know the age difference between you and your husband. And mind you, her story with her mom, groundbreaking. Again, this is why Potomac is so good. They have good qualities, and they have terrible qualities. I loved hearing about it, and I actually think it was really refreshing to see that on the show, because she's trying to rebuild it, and she went through a lot, and I totally get, you know, her story. With that being said, like, she's not going to have no friends on the show by the time she's done, because she shades everyone, and it's, like, not even fun shade. It'd be some lethal shit. Go on social media acting a fool. It's just too much, child. It's just too much. Did I go through everyone? Giselle's going to be Giselle. Karen's going to be Karen. Robin, we already went through Candace. Stream drive back if you want clear skin. You already know I'm a bastard hound for life. I love Candace. Do I agree with everything that she says? Hell fucking no. I think some of the shit that she says is very, very too much.com. However, comma, I live for Candace. And I'm gonna talk about Ashley. Yeah, we already gone through it. Now let me tell you something. I was gonna like explain this on the Patreon episode, which I am. But I was just going through a lot in life. Depression sucks. Having to pay for school and other things and going through that process, that is a lot. It is stressful. But I'm back. And I'm going to make it my mission to be more present with this, because this is something not only to do, but this will keep me productive and steered in the right direction. So, listen, this is not going to be the final episode for fucking 3 months again. I will be coming with... hopefully a few times a week. I'm going to try to get it there. I'm going to try. We're going to start with once, and then we're going to go 2, 3, 4 maybe. If it needs to get there, child. Listen, it's always a pleasure talking with you all. I'm so sorry that I rambled. I always say that even though you clicked this knowing I was going to ramble. I love you guys. I hope you all have had a beautiful summer. I hope we all have an amazing autumn. And this has been the Bitch of PD with Jonathan Chandler. Bye, bitches.